This is a Word on the Word, bringing to you the homily, recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, the Diocese of Bridgeport, Connecticut, USA. Our pastor is Father Angelo Arando. We're so glad you could join us today. The readings for the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time are from the prophet Habakkuk, the second letter of St. Paul to Timothy, and the Gospel according to Luke. To hear them, click on our link at awordontheword.blogspot.com. But now, here's Father Angelo.
Good morning. Today, as a church, we celebrate the 27th Sunday in Ordinary Time. And for the last several weeks, Luke's Gospel has challenged us to look at our relationship with God, our relationship with Jesus Christ, and our relationship with one another, and our relationship with our own faith. And asking ourselves, how well are we living that faith? Today's readings begin to answer the questions we may have had. Today's readings begin to turn the table to allow us to understand what God has been asking of us, what Jesus has been asking of us, and what the church has been asking of us for the last several weeks. In today's gospel, the apostles have been hearing Jesus talk. They understand how difficult it is to be a disciple of Jesus Christ, and they have upon their lips what most of us have on our lips: increase our faith. Increase our faith. Isn't that what most of us want? To have more faith? And yet Jesus' response is, if you had the faith the size of a mustard seed, you could say to this mulberry tree, be uprooted and be planted into the sea, and it will. Today's first reading comes from the prophet Habakkuk. And Habakkuk resounds what most of us feel very often. Habakkuk is living at a very difficult time in Israel's history. Devastation is all around it. Terror is all around it. And Habakkuk is crying out in today's reading, where are you, God? I've been calling upon you. I've been calling upon you in the midst of this suffering, in the midst of this travesty. Where are you? We have all felt that. And then God gives the response. He tells Habakkuk to take the vision and carve it into stone so that he can see it and everyone else would see it. And the vision is very simple. Your God is good. Your God is trustworthy. In his time, things will be corrected. In his time, things will be rectified. And so many of us want it now. We want to be the tail that wags the dog. And God is speaking to Habakkuk. Look at the relationship. Do you love me or do you not love me? Do you trust me or do you not trust me? And that's a question asked of all of us by our God. Do you love me? Do you trust me? Hopefully we're here today because we do love him. And hopefully we're here to trust him. So like the apostles, we're asking, increase our faith, as though faith was a feeling, although faith was an emotion. And Jesus is saying, hey, it's not quantity, it's quality. All you need is a little bit of faith. But how do you and I respond to faith? How do we make faith operative in our lives? How do we make faith relevant in our lives? As I've said so often, our religion is not magic. Our religion is a commitment, believing in the God who believes in us. So if we look at today's gospel from Luke, right after Jesus is asked by the apostles, increase our faith, what does Jesus tell them? He tells them a story. A powerful story. He says, who among you, if you had a slave who worked all day in the field, comes into the house and you would say to him, sit down at table, I will wait on you. He says, wouldn't you rather say to your slave, get my dinner ready, prepare my stuff, and then you can take care of your own? What Jesus is saying is if you want faith, you have to live the faith. You have to use the faith. There's not magic there. It's a commitment. So there are three things over the last several weeks that were thrown at us from Luke's gospel, challenging us to look at. The first thing given to us was to understand how forgiving our God is. That our God is so magnificent in forgiving. He's the prodigal forgiver. He's extravagant in forgiving. And our challenge is to be forgiving. And that's not easy. It's a challenge. Forgiving isn't a feeling. In fact, forgiving has nothing to do with a person to be forgiven. Forgiving has to do with us. Our God forgives because He is a forgiver. It has nothing about the ones who transgress against Him. So to put our faith into operative mode, you and I have to be forgivers. And it's not easy. Because we have to remind ourselves, forgiveness has nothing to do with the person who I'm forgiving. Has nothing to do with the deed they did against me. It's about me. And it's about the choice that I make to live my life in this way. This is putting faith into an operative mode. Secondly, we're told through the parables of the last several weeks, is to believe. To believe and trust in God and believe and trust in yourself. Once we begin to believe that God can't possibly love me any more than He already does, and He loves you as much as He possibly can, then the struggle is for me to learn to love you. And that's a difficult thing to do. But it's a choice. There's no magic there. It's a choice. It's a commitment to believe in the one who believes in me and to struggle to make that operative in my life. Then we're told to serve. We're told to serve. That in serving one another, in serving the least in our midst, we're making the choice to make God the center of our life, to make Jesus the center of our life, and we enter into the modality that Jesus comes to show us. The Son of Man came to serve and not to be served. So serving another person is just not a nice thing to do. It's not just a charitable thing to do. It goes to the very root and heart of what it means to be a disciple of Jesus Christ. There's no magic in faith. There's no magic in faith. It's making a choice. Believing in the one who believes in us. And we have to begin with simple things. When you and I gather, we gather to practice our faith. So the first thing we do is open up that hymnal. We may not like it. It's a choice of faith. We're celebrating unity. And if we're not celebrating unity, what the heck are we doing here? That's what the Eucharistic prayer says. May we who partake of this bread and this blood become united with one another. So we pick up that hymnal, so we join our voices together. It's an act of will. This is what I want to be. I want to be a part of the community. I want to be part of the body of Christ. It's making a choice. We don't become a community just because we want to become a community. We become a community because we work at it. We strive for it. We strive because there's one greater than us who deems us worthy of ourselves. And when I refuse to sing, what I'm saying is I'm better than you. I don't care what you're doing. This is what I want to do. Well, there's no unity there. There's no unity there at all. We come and celebrate the Eucharist. We come to share the very mystery of Christ's presence. He gives us Himself. There's nothing more He can give. He gives us Himself so that you and I can learn to give ourselves to one another, to give ourselves to our world. There's no magic there. It's a commitment. It's not a feeling. It's a commitment. It's saying, this is the way I want to live my life because this is what gives meaning to my life. I choose to believe in God because God gives meaning to my life. I choose to be a disciple of Jesus Christ because Jesus gives meaning to my life. There's no magic. There's no magic here. As I've said so many times, Christianity is not for the weak of heart. It's not. We don't have a Santa Claus guide. We have a God who loves us. A God who challenges us to be all we can possibly be. When Jesus comes and he tells us, I came that you may have life and life in its fullness. I came that my joy may be yours and that your joy may be complete. But how does he do it? He dies. He's put to death because of the dream that he committed himself to. That God indeed is Abba, Daddy. That God is Father, our Father. That we are brothers and sisters. That we touch God by touching one another. That we touch one another and we touch God so that you and I can become all we are called to be. It's the seed. It's the seed of faith that has to be exercised. It's the seed of faith that is exercised by making choices, simple choices. Do you think if we can't decide that I'm going to sing today, that I can lay down my life for a friend? It doesn't just happen. It's a choice. And we gather each week to make the little choices so that when we go out there, we can learn to make the bigger choices. Jesus says to his apostles, and he says to you and me, not everyone who says, Lord, Lord, shall enter the kingdom of my Father, only they who do the will of my Father. Unless you and I trust that our Father is a God of tremendous love, that he can't possibly love us any more than he already does, we're not going to make the hard choices. And we're not going to make the hard choices if we don't learn to make the small choices. I came that my life could be yours, and that your joy may be complete. God bless you.
Recorded live at St. Gregory the Great, Danbury, Connecticut, October 3rd, 2010, 7:45 in the morning mass. Thank you, Father Angelo. Well, that's a word on the word for the seventh Sunday in Ordinary Time. This podcast is released under a Creative Commons license. Some rights are reserved. Links to the daily readings, morning and evening prayers, and more can be found in our show notes. We publish them at awordontheword.blogspot.com. That's awordontheword.blogspot.com. Or the St. Gregory the Great homepage is www.danbury.org/St. Greg. Thank you for joining us. A Word on the Word executive producer is Father Angelo Arando and is produced by Gregory Wensek. Please let us know what you think. If you have any questions or comments, we want to include them. Please drop us a line at awordontheword@gmail.com. On behalf of St. Gregory the Great Parish, God bless.